All right, let's call the meeting of the regular meeting of the Parks and Rec Committee to order. Can we have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Great. This is, do we have a, are we on a teleconference?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so this is time for public comments. Is there anybody in the public that would like to identify themselves? Okay, hearing none, I will close public comments. A motion to approve minutes?
Motion.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Item D1, staff.
I believe you've seen our landscape crew out and about, working very hard these past few weeks, and we thought it would be appropriate for our Parks and Landscape Manager, Phil Engelman, to give you an update on what things have been done recently and what things are to come. Bill?
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Good. So over the winter months after I started, we just concentrated on kind of the parks, aerating, fertilizing, doing some general upkeep, maintenance. But over the past 2-3 months, I've been working hand-in-hand with the crew, kind of assessing and cleaning up some of the deferred streetscape issues, the Boulevard, Bixler, Newport, and Clifford, just to see what we have, what we can keep in terms of plant material, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is definitely years worth of deferred maintenance out there. So it's taken some time, but on the good side, it's given me some time to come up with a strategy about how we can move forward with redesigning new materials and such, with, including what we have. I know there's been talk a little bit about a landscape master plan, which maybe we don't really need. I'd like to refer to it more of a guideline for the redesign and construction of Discovery Bay streetscapes. We need a unifying theme, we need a unified plant palette, material palette, forms, textures. All the streetscape really should have some similarities between them. So I was thinking one of the strategies might be to, as I'm coming up with these guidelines, to take a not so visible streetscape such as the Islands, Discovery Bay Boulevard up north there, or maybe Post Street by Ravenswood Park, and kind of do a design build as I'm coming up with these parameters to then further go to the guidelines.
You said take one of those and kind of make it the model for what you may want to do throughout
some
the
water test kind of.
Sure, thing. Yeah, no. Yeah, and it almost would make sense to maybe do a couple different things and to compare or something if you want to even go that route.
Different materials.
The island down here at Beaver, past Beaver, that we have a big island out in the middle. Don't we have a lift station on that? You know what I'm talking about? The big island?
I know what you're talking about.
Is that just some sort of massive ground cover, right? That takes almost no?
Beaver.
Not
Willow Lake?
It's on Willow Lake.
It's on Willow Lake.
It's the ice plant?
It's kind of like a big triangle, and then there's a court back there. I don't even know what the name of that. I've never been down that street. But we have a lift station to the right of that, I guess.
It's Willow Lake Court.
Is that just a massive ground cover?
It is. And that's, you know, if we came up with a palette of materials like that,
yeah,
that do well.
Well, that's one, you know what's funny about that? That's the one place that we never really get complaints about because it's a good solid ground cover, like we do with the grass and stuff over here at Discovery. Now, part of it may be the level of residents that you have between the two places.
Sure.
People, you know, there's a higher end homes over there. But it just dawned on me that we have this, we never hear any complaints about is that island with all that ice flat on it. But at least as long as it's working, I guess, you know.
Right.
But I will say, I shared this with Brian earlier in the week when we were talking about the meeting, and the weeds were unbelievable. I mean, as you know, and the problem is as you watch them grow, as you come in and out of town on a regular basis, you almost don't notice them until all of a sudden you go, what the heck? And you guys did a great job knocking down all that, especially in the first, you know, between Clipper and the estates there. There was a lot of the weeds up on the hill there. But what I share with Brian is that it's kind of like going around your house and touching up your paint, you know, because you have a little nick here and there. You touch up the paint, and all of a sudden you look, and the whole thing looks bad. And I think we're at that point where we got rid of those big blemishes, but now when you look at the overall plan, it ain't good.
It's not there.
And not your responsibility. I'm just saying, acknowledging what you said earlier with we need to come up with a scheme because it's not that great to look at.
And I want to avoid putting a little bit of this here, a little bit of that there.
Yeah, so you got a flower in the middle of a bunch of thorns. It doesn't make any sense.
It's not cohesive.
Yeah. No, I agree. And there has to be a drought resistant thing. We know that our water, we don't want to be using up more water than we have. You know, eliminating grasses where we watering where we need, where we can, without making it look like Arizona.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Even the mulches, coming up with a new way of doing
it. And I think that we're at a point where now that we've been through this drought for several years, that there's probably some technology out there, if I could use that term, for landscaping, or product out there that is even better than it was 5 years ago, because the whole state's going to drought resistant stuff. So hopefully you have better choices and more versatility in what you can do to get an appearance that is pleasant.
I would just like to add, I am very thankful and appreciative of all the work you've been doing. You know, I drive by and I honk at you all the time. And so, literally every single day, this guy's in a different
sector. No, I know. I appreciate that.
And I see the trucks getting loaded with all the debris. So, you guys are definitely working your butts off. And there is a huge difference.
Yeah.
But as Kevin said, as you acknowledge, all now just reach a light is, okay, we
have a need.
We got needs now. Yeah, so I definitely...
Well, we put Band-Aids on things now, let's fix
it. So, I definitely encourage that you're thinking in the right direction, whether you're the master plan or we have to hire a master plan, I would love for you to save the money and you be the master plan,
sure,
and come up with a proposal, because at this point, you know, I kind of feel that, you know, our responsibility is to get you the funds necessary, or at least fight for you get the funds, to do whatever projects that you deem necessary.
I would say more that you pulled the scab off than put the Band-Aid on. No, I appreciate that, and I'm excited about having an opportunity to really make things better. It's been 4 or 5 years of constant downhill. Is that it?
That's it.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate your hard work out there.
Well, actually, before you check out, so what is the next step, though? So are you going to come back with a proposal?
I think the next step should be, it'd be nice to have in conjunction with some other, not like a subcommittee or what have you, but more than just me coming up with some ideas.
Brian especially, I know, is, and I am also, because Brian's seems to be more his bailiwick. He drives through town more than I do.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not disinterested. I just am not a landscape. I'm not a green thumb guy. But that's why I live in a townhouse and have gardeners to take care of the outside. But both of us, if I can speak for you, are more than willing to go spend time with you. If you want to spend an hour showing us some stuff, some ideas, some pictures, some drawings, I don't know. I think we can do that in a non-formal atmosphere without violating any rules or laws. There's only two of us, so we don't have to really have it doesn't have to be a Brown Act meeting. And this is just strictly for you to, so you're not waiting every month.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Let's sit down at your desk, or let's go out in the field and walk it. And then when we come up with a plan or a sample, we may want to plan a park and landscape meeting at that. Let's say you do those islands.
Sure.
We may plan a meeting where we go to the islands as part of the meeting to invite the public to see what we're doing, so they're also aware of it and transparency. But in the meantime, we're more than willing to be available to you to bounce ideas off of, or to see.
Outline together the kind of things I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and if there's, you know. I'm going to leave it that alone. That'd be great.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Bob.
And item two.
Before we go to item two, I just wanted to piggyback on that just a little bit. and that is that the board hasn't really heard the kind of things that we're thinking about and put some numbers to those things at a board meeting. So over the next few months, as you're developing these ideas and these thoughts, let's put some numbers to it, and let's make sure that the board is looking at those numbers also so that they can make good decisions.
Well, that's part of our plan. I think we probably shared this before in meetings as well as with you privately, and that is, that, and not me privately, I mean just in your office, that we have funds available through the Hoffman money, and I think it's important to try to earmark some of those funds, not to all go towards some of these other projects we've been talking about, but make sure we earmark some funds to be able to do what we need to do here. And I think that's part of why there's a kind of a push, first of all, to make sure that before other decisions are made, that we try to earmark some of those funds. And you're absolutely right. It's important once we have that to be able to then bring it to the board and say, this is what we're recommending. We're recommending that we take X amount of dollars, $250,000, and work and upgrade it. I'm just throwing a number out there. It could be $80. I don't know. But what, it's probably going to be more than 80 though. And we get some of that, those funds earmarked. I think that's one of the chief concerns that Brian and I have with this responsibility, is making sure that we have funds available to us from the funds that were given to us for Zone 8 and for the betterment of the community, and to make sure it falls within the guidelines of the money that was given to us, first of all. And second of all, that we can either offset or include some of those funds in the projects that need to be done.
Perfect. Thank you. Item two. As you know, we basically shut down all of our recreation programming, our parks, dog parks, basketball play, picnic area, barbecue area, bocce ball, basically everything except the green space at Cornell Park and the green space at Ravenswood, which the town owns those parks. The parks at Regatta and Slifer, those parks are closed by virtue, even the green spaces, by virtue of what the county has directed us to do.
Mm.
There's been an easing of the recreational activities, or outdoor activities is a better word for it, by the health officer, a slight easing. So I'm going to bring Monica up to talk to you about our response to that and what our current status is. But I will say we have not, Contra Costa County has not responded to let us know that we can open up the Regatta or Slifer parks, just to let you know. So this applies to our park.
Before you do that, we had a discussion on item one, which was the future landscape renovations. Are there any comments from the public on that? I neglected to go back to the public and ask if there was any comments. Okay, hearing none, let's move on.
Okay.
Is anybody telling us whether there's anybody on the phone?
We can hear it.
Nobody's on it? Okay, I just want to make sure we're following the guidelines. Monica, how are you? Good to see you.
Thank you. You as well. So I would like to start by letting you know what recreations had to do because of COVID-19 in canceling classes. We've refunded folks. Some of our instructors actually agreed, and the participants in those classes, to issue vouchers. So once we're back up and running, they'll come back in and we'll just pick right back up where we left off. Summer Jam has been canceled for May. For sure, fingers crossed, but we have to wait and see for the others later in the year. Pause on Parade was canceled. The River Otter Swim Team, the whole season was canceled, and we did refund everybody their money for that. So those are the kind of things we've done in closing. Do you have a question?
No,
okay.
Not yet, I'm just thinking. I will.
Okay, moving forward, we are still planning a summer season. The guide hit mailboxes today, so we did put a little disclaimer on there that everything will be subject to change dependent upon COVID-19 restrictions. So everyone got that in the mail today. Working with East Bay Regional Parks District on the grant that we applied for, they're still on track to notify us early June about awarding of those funds. Been working real
pickleball money?
Correct. Sorry, the conversion of mm-hmm. 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they, so far, are still on track, East Bay Regional Parks District, for an early June decision.
Do we have any clue? Is it a formality, or are we really, can they say no, or what's the deal?
When I spoke to Jessica, who's the representative there, she took a preliminary look at what was submitted. She said it looked real good.
Good.
They have to go through their formal
sure.
procedure.
Nothing's for sure, but it,
until
but
it's
but
sure.
it's not like we're in the running with other people where
no,
we're
no, no, no,
competing
no.
for that money.
No.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
I've been reading and staying up to date with CPRS and that community just to kind of see what other organizations are doing, and we're right in line with what other cities and towns are doing as far as how they're handling closures of everything. So I get updates on that daily, several times a day.
Somehow I got on that email list, and I was getting those emails from Atwater and Vallejo, and I'm like, how did I get on this email list?
Yeah. So
I was able to stop that. But
I'm
anyway.
Keeping up with other communities, so and learning, all sharing notes.
Okay.
Working forward, hoping once this is over, we'll do some sort of reopening of the dog park. That's down the road. But
well, the grass should be well grown in by then, I'm hoping, huh?
We'll
the
be,
turf?
We'll be
turf should be, rough by your house. How's it growing back there? Good?
There's a couple spots that I have to keep massaging.
Okay.
So with this most recent county, the health order allowing tennis and pickleball, what we would like to do is start slow. It's okay to play. So we're recommending opening the tennis courts and pickleball Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. We'll still lock and unlock. So that we can monitor that. You do still have to practice social distancing. All of those requirements are still in line.
So it's a two-edged sword. We really would like to be open on the weekends, but then we'd have to have staff here, and so that's why we're going to go with the Monday
exactly.
through Friday.
Okay.
Yes. Makes sense. Just
yes.
as long as it's explained to the people that way. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, starting when?
Yeah. Well, we haven't discussed that yet. We were thinking tomorrow. I wanted to bring it before you and
we
talk, see what your thoughts are.
I would defer to your judgment. If you think that people are, if you think we can handle it, I'd say the sooner the better. You know, just start moving back towards normal, I guess, you know.
Okay. What we are going to do here at the community center, and we've come up with a plan to caution tape and rope off, we are not going to allow dogs. We did have before tennis courts were closed, we had a lot of folks using the tennis courts as off-leash dog parks, which we cannot have dogs on the courts, and gathering on the grass area. So we have come up with a plan where we can rope off the section of our property to allow our gardeners to come back and do their gardening and just access the tennis courts.
So what's the thought process about not opening the dog park up over here for the time being, where we had it before?
It hasn't been released in the order, to my understanding.
Dog parks are still closed as part of the order.
Okay.
That I
got it.
Speak to.
My comments would not have anything to do with you, so I'll just refrain from making it.
I appreciate that.
I echo those.
Echo my thoughts?
Yeah.
That about wraps it up. Do you have any questions for me?
The only thing that I would like, unfortunately, I think that you're just going to be the messenger, not the message, but I think we need to know how this is financially impacting the budget here at the community center, and the board probably needs to know at some point how with because part of our sustainment, we still have to pay things to be here. I mean, we still pay staff, we pay lights, we pay electricity, we pay air. We still have overhead that's continuing even though we're receiving absolutely no revenue at this point. So I think we should get a kind of a summary of how that revenue is being impacted here pretty soon, and be able to let the board know how the community center fund is being impacted by having no revenue.
When I canceled all classes, I did simultaneously make copies and create a spreadsheet so that we can keep track of money revenue loss, and I've submitted those to finance.
Okay.
Just so we can keep track of that in real time.
And you know, it's one of those things where you kind of hate to point something out, but I think it's important that we're aware of this, because it's going to be, Mike, unless you have a better idea on how you want to present that.
Not We're also tracking it because there's a possibility we could get reimbursed for losses suffered. So we're tracking it and we're going to submit it.
Through grants and that type of thing?
No, it's not. It's a, it's refundable through kind of the Office of Emergency Services.
Yeah.
And we may or may not qualify. We're really low in comparison to some others because we did, what we did is we cut the services and we cut the personnel that supplied those services.
Right.
So our losses are probably in the $5,000.
So here's, so with us, it's not, with us, the unfortunate part is we don't develop enough revenue from the programs we have that it's really going to impact our overhead, is what you're trying to tell me.
Correct.
Okay.
And Julie, our finance director, can get those figures for you for next meeting on comparisons to last year and this year.
Yeah, I, if it's not a big deal, let's not make a big deal about it. If it's,
right.
I just, if I thought if it's going to impact a budget somewhere that we're going to really worry about, that the rest of the board should know about it. But if it's not, if it's negligible, then I would, we're fine.
I believe it's pretty much negligible because we took the correct actions to make it almost cost neutral. So I got to hand it to my staff.
Well, and that's the good news, bad news about our community center. Unfortunately, we don't raise it. We don't have we don't raise it excess revenue. We only raise revenue that pays for the program that's existing at the time, and that's good for the people that are participating, but it's not so good for trying to keep the lights on.
Exactly. And I just wanted to add one more thing to the hours that exist. We still have an obligation as the governing body to advise people that they have to engage in social distancing and face masking. During actual play, you don't have to wear a face mask. Anything that exerts activity, bike riding, running, and things of that nature, but you have to have your face mask handy. If we were to open it up on the weekends, right now we don't have a way of supervising it. So this is kind of a test period also to see what kind of compliance we're getting, because on the weekends, and we may open it up on the weekends in the future. So we're going to be watching things as things go along.
As I read the news release from the county that I got through our supervisor, it seems to me that even even any sort of physical activity is exempt from face masks. That would be walking, kayaking. I mean, they named specific items. And so if you come to the community center, you're coming for physical activity, whether it be, well, I guess if your dog's running and you're not, I guess it's not considered physical activity. But I'm just.
Well, let's say that you're waiting to play the next round of pickleball.
Right. I know there's no way to monitor that social distancing because you're not there.
You know, you would have a face. You're supposed to be wearing your face mask anywhere outdoors.
That's why I have mine around my neck. I would not miss that opportunity.
Right.
So, you know, but it's ridiculous.
Any other questions?
I just had a quick question. I know Bill briefly touched on it.
Yeah.
Is the dog park a month away, 2 months? I know, you know, there's nature things you can't predict, but just based on your gut instinct.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, that if it weren't for COVID, we could have...
I thought it was going to be open in April. It was scheduled to be open in April without COVID. It's ready to go. Okay.
When COVID's done and we are told by the health office that we can open it, we're ready to do
so. So we can take down the temporary then?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, great. I don't have anything else. Do you?
No.
No, thank you, Monica.
Thank
appreciate
you.
That very much. So I don't. I think that's the. We don't have any future discussion. Well, we have a few things we may be talking to Bill about, but nothing that for the agenda at this point. So I would adjourn the meeting. Oh, was there any public comment with regards to those last comments? Good. Let me call him. Okay. Last chance. All right. During the meeting.